Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
This Friday morning, September 27th, Philadelphia police searching for the driver who struck and killed a girl and then fled the scene. This happened on the 6500 block of Haverford Avenue in West Philadelphia. Happened about 9:30-ish last night, according to Philadelphia police. This 14-year-old girl is walking in a crosswalk area with her mom, and they're walking back. They had to make a quick run to the local convenience store. So walking across, suddenly they said that a driver traveling in a sedan at a high rate of speed crashed into them, struck the girl so hard that her body was flung. Mom couldn't even find her daughter initially. So it's a horrible situation as you hear, you know, police describing this. The vehicle described, we only know it's dark in color, possibly a gray charcoal Mercedes sedan. It's going to have heavy damage because at the rate that it was going and how hard it struck this 14-year-old girl, striking her and killing her. But her body was just flung so far. And of course, they come to the scene, they're called to the scene. And this mom, just obviously distraught and devastated, finally found her daughter. But it took a little bit as she was just in shock. So the mother survived this hit, but the daughter struck and killed. Just a horrible story. Police putting this out there. If you see a vehicle to that description with that front end damage, 215-686-TIPS. They do want to hear from you immediately. They say they will catch this individual because they're reviewing any and all surveillance or kind of Ring doorbell type of videos.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible story.
Hopefully get a glance of that license plate as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. Amen. And they don't have a plate for us yet, Nick, to your point. That was a good point.
Okay.
Pennsylvania Supreme Court handing Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner a victory here. And in this one, it's his effort to block this long-stalled impeachment drive. They ruled, this is the higher court overturning a lower court, they ruled at the end of the day that state lawmakers who tried to remove him from office 2 years ago had improperly attempted to stretch that process across two different legislative sessions. Essentially, they ran out of time.
Okay.
Because Krasner was filing for these different injunctions.
Yep, to draw it out.
Yes.
Run the clock out.
Yep. Well put. Ran the clock out. That's exactly. Republicans in the legislature got outplayed.
Mm-hmm.
That's
shocking. Republicans get outplayed.
So we got that one going.
Insert specific story with the headline, Republicans get outplayed.
So I don't have comment from those Republican lawmakers in our Pennsylvania legislature. Krasner didn't comment on the decision. His office released a statement calling the decision a victory for democracy and for the citizens of Philadelphia.
It's always about democracy, Dawn.
Yes.
Everywhere I look, I go down the grocery store, I just shout, it's about democracy. That's what I do.
Another headline I will give you, the feds charge New York City Mayor Eric Adams with selling his influence to foreign nationals. He had a biggity-big news conference yesterday and says he will not resign. He will fight this and tell his side of the story.
He's on the wrong end of targeted lawfare. It's interesting how that works. You know, he opened up his mouth about immigration. We can't deal with all the influx of illegal immigrants. And then all of a sudden, there's this Turkish stuff and there's some influence and kaboom, raid.
Yeah, they're accusing him of fraud, bribery, and receiving all of those first class upgrades on flights.
He's suggesting it was political revenge by Biden's DOJ. Phil, do you have cut five? If you have cut five, can you run that real fast since Dawn mentioned it real fast here? Maybe it doesn't matter. There,
there we go. How are you? Good. Good to see you.
Yeah. The very first time you actually read it, 7 to 8 times, the first time you actually saw the allegations against you, and in reference to your statement last night with regard to speaking out about the migrant crisis, exactly the point in the federal government, White House, which you say is targeting you for speaking out. We're talking about the Biden administration, now we're talking about Homeland Security.
The
I think that your second question, I think you need to ask the federal prosecutors who gave the directive and the orders. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We should ask them who gave the directive and orders that we're going to take on and create this group of lies. They have the answer to that question. When it comes down to reading it, I peruse through it to get the top lines. The attorneys are going to dig into the crevices of it.
Crevices.
But it is clear. Everyone that knows me knows I follow campaign rules and I follow the law.
I swear.
I live my life and I don't see coming into the 60s and my age to all of a sudden change what I've done all the time. I follow the law and I follow the campaign rules.
I follow the law and the campaign rules.
Yeah, there you have it. Yeah. Well, the left will always devour their own, and as soon as you speak out against it, you're next on the list.
Another corrupt politician.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Shocking.
So how long until Andrew Cuomo comes out of hibernation and says, I'd like to be the mayor now?
Yeah, he's going to swing into action.
Oh, yeah.
You know he will. You know,
he's the guy. Yeah. He's warming up right now.
He's in the bullpen.
The Enter Sandman music is going to hit, and he's going to come out.
He's got his velour jumpsuit on. He's all fired up.
Biden and Harris are like, I know you killed a lot of people during COVID by stuffing them in nursing facilities, but you look better these days than Eric does.
We forget all that stuff.
Yeah, we've moved on.
What's the scandal du jour now?
Yeah.
Well, Hurricane Helene weakening to a tropical storm over Georgia right now. Maximum sustained winds of 70 miles an hour. That's according to the National Hurricane Center. Helene continuing to weaken because obviously it made landfall in Florida overnight. Now moving further inland over Georgia. Storm about 40 miles east of Macon, 100 miles southeast of Atlanta, and moving north at about 30 plus miles an hour.
We have that video that I referenced earlier. Phil, this is Cut 11. This is the right before they closed one of those bridges in Florida, and it's like the last three cars to go over. I think this is the news report for that. Phil, if you can roll Cut 11.
Needing these bridges, and this was kind of a Haley pointed this out earlier. How would you like to be one of those
look at that.
Drivers?
These
were the truck and then a small car
pass over the bridge before they shut it down. White knuckle moments with some white caps right there.
It looks like a sci-fi movie.
It's silly.
It does.
I wonder why did they let it get to that point before the cars are still. But then again, personal responsibility too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bridge over a bay during a hurricane. Anyway, same story for the Courtney Campbell too. It's also closed at this point because of high water. Not as severe there. They did a good job of shutting that one down early. Gandy Bridge also closed. We could see the wind rocking the updog camera there. Just a few.
Imagine going over that
cross right before they shut down that bridge as well. So,
Bridge over a bay during a hurricane. That first clip legitimately looked like the guy was driving through the ocean.
Yep. Yeah, it was the Howard Franklin Bridge. I'm not familiar with Florida, so.
Yeah. No, I'd have been gone 10 hours before that. I'm out of here.
Oh, wait. Dawn, you're down. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry about
and
that.
And I was talking the whole time.
Oh, no.
My husband wishes he could do that.
Sorry about that. I have three. There's just to get a little technical here, there's three pots, as we call them, right next to each other. Me, Dawn, and then the video, the audio stuff. Mm-hmm. And I meant to turn down the video, and I turned down you.
Uh-huh, sure. Hurricane Helene, by the way, already causing all these travel disruptions with millions evacuating. Travel disruptions because they've canceled flights, obviously. So this affects Eagles fans headed to Tampa for Sunday's big game.
Oh, that's right.
And so at the Philadelphia International Airport, they were talking about the fact that Eagles fans over the past 2 days were still checking in. They're like, oh, no, we're going.
Yeah. Those two people driving across the bridge might have been Eagles fans.
Right. They're like, E-A-G! Oh,
they're definitely Eagles fans.
Totally.
Which way to the stadium?
But the problem is they've closed all the airports, not only Tampa International, but all the other regional airports. So I was looking up which airport can you fly into and then try to drive over or something. But Tallahassee International Airport, St. Pete Clearwater International Airport, they're all closed. Tampa International suspended all commercial and cargo operations because some of the Eagles fans were trying to, they were calling FedEx. Can I get on one of your cargo planes? You know what I mean? It's like a Tom Hanks movie. So in any event, I don't know what they're going to do. So they're still trying to find out other regional airports, Northwest Florida Beaches International Airport, near Panama City Beach, Orlando, Jacksonville. They are currently open, but have advised all travelers check with airlines directly for the latest flight status. So I'm imagining people are scrambling to try to get some of those other, like maybe Orlando. I'm trying to remember. I think it's a good 3.5-4 hour drive in regular traffic if you're going from Orlando to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. that's the way Eagles fans are thinking right now.
Yep.
Right.
My wife and I did that same exact trip in 2004. We went to Disney, then we drove to Tampa, and then we went to one of the beaches along the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah.
So is that right? It's in that ballpark.
Yep.
But that's in regular weather,
right?
Not, you know, all the storms, and they still have rain and it's terrible
flooding.
Weather. Flooding, yes, thank you. Flooding, high winds, and obviously we're certainly praying for Tony Bruno and Miss Robin this morning. So we are sponsored by Budget Blinds, ready for fall. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business when you schedule your consultation. Ask about their special radio offer. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:16, let's wrap up the week with one last big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by United Tire. Can Kamala word salad her way through the meat and potatoes? You know, when you think about it, there's many forms of headaches. You have migraines, you have tension headaches, you have sinus headaches and stress headaches, right? And they impact different parts of your head and your face. And then there's the headache you have after listening to Kamala Harris. It encapsulates your entire skull. But this should be quite the interesting test today when it pertains to the Harris headache pain threshold as she attempts to explain the economy and, more importantly today, specifically, the border. Because you can't word salad your way through the meat and potatoes of America's top two issues. Wednesday night, we saw Harris display her lack of understanding of basic economics in a one-on-one interview with MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle. Now today, she will visit the southern border, something that has her fingerprints all over when it pertains to the failures of being Joe Biden's border czar. The Harris Walls campaign will somehow, some way, try to tell the American public that they are the best prepared ticket to tackle the simmering immigration crisis that plagues American cities. Of course, the stats would show otherwise. And of course, she will regurgitate how this is Trump's fault, how Republicans refused to back a bipartisan bill for border resolution a few months ago. But what exactly is the strategy behind this visit? Republican pollster Frank Luntz, longtime veteran of the political game, had this to say on CNN just a few days ago. Listen and watch.
CNN has learned that Harris is planning to visit the southern border when she goes to Arizona on Friday. CNN polling, of course, shows Trump leading Harris on the issue of immigration by 14%. Is a visit to the border at this stage in the race something that she can capitalize on, or is that going to be really tough?
I actually would have advised against it. That her time to have gone to the border was last year or the year before that. And now it only highlights the fact that she hasn't really focused on this issue, even though she had some. We can't determine what the actual responsibility was that she had in the administration because it's been muddied. But this is an area that Donald Trump can say, just look at the numbers, look at the immigration statistics, look at the illegal immigration that took place under his administration and under the Biden-Harris administration. But once again, he starts to focus on eating dogs and cats. I don't understand this. It's as though he's trying to lose this race. If he actually could stay on message and could do the statistical comparisons side by side, I think he would be the front runner. But he's been incapable of doing that. He's chosen not to do a debate with her. And her going to the border is only going to remind voters that things have gotten worse over the last 3.5 years. So it's an interesting strategy that maybe I would not have recommended.
Harris will be in Douglas, Arizona today to discuss border security, including how she is preparing to send new agents to the border and new technology to reportedly target the flow of fentanyl according to a report from Axios. Scott Jennings, formerly of the Bush administration, regular contributor now on CNN, had this to say when it comes to Kamala and the border. Listen and watch.
We are where we are. We showed the poll. She's down on this issue. Going to the border is not going to fix that. There's, I don't know if you all have seen the video. There's this amazing video of her from a couple of years ago out chanting, you know, down with mass deportation. Doug was right behind her chanting along. I mean, her views on this are so obvious. Going to rallies and chanting, running on it in 2019, 2020. I mean, we know where she is on immigration vis-a-vis Donald Trump. Going to the border is not going to change that. The American people are going to see him as tough on it, tougher than she will ever want to be on it. They don't trust Democrats on this issue because of the last 3.5 years, the day one executive orders, and then waiting until the shadow of an election to try to pay some lip service to it.
Precisely what I've been saying for 2 years on this show, and exactly what I've said since early this summer when Democrats tried to spin this back on Republicans. Nobody's buying that. You can't ignore an issue for 3.5 years, be complicit in the crisis, and then blame your political opponent and cry partisanship when they don't give you a get out of jail for free card. But let's go back to the economy for just a few moments. If the border is the potatoes of the 2024 election dinner, the economy is the meat. Even the crazy, kooky Cage and Democrat strategist James Carville not feeling Kamala Harris on the economy. Carville says on his Politics War Room podcast that Harris should, quote, stop trying to convince Americans that the economy is good. Trump holds a 13-point lead on Kamala on the economy in the latest New York Times Siena poll. Goldman Sachs and the Wharton School of Business also dunking on Kamala in recent days post-debate. The Wharton School of Business told Newsmax last Friday that its analysis of Harris's economic plan, quote, did not find a positive impact on the economy from her plan in any future year, which contradicts Harris's claim on September 10th at the debate. Also, the CEO of Goldman Sachs telling the New York Post on September 13th, quote, the report that Harris is better for the economy from our vantage point was blown way out of proportion, end quote. And now even the biggest supporters of Kamala Harris are saying the quiet part out loud. Mark Cuban, one of the biggest surrogates of the Harris Walls campaign, was just on CNBC yesterday, and he says that inflation, it's not the result of price gouging. Listen and watch this.
Do you think any of the 40-year highs in inflation are attributable to price gouging? And do you care that that is the entire premise on...
No, you're misrepresenting what she's saying, Joe.
I'm watching her ads now.
Okay, so then let's talk.
You've seen the ads.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I'm going to end... I'm going to bring down...
Price gouging during a crisis.
Okay.
During a crisis.
What do you think caused the 40-year... Do you think supermarket...
No,
gouging had anything to do with...
No.
You think it was putting too much stimulus on top of a supply constrained...
Biden and...
Then
and,
it just looks to me like they're not being truthful with this, and they're trying to deflect blame
to
corporations,
right?
Because of their record.
Oops, a super savvy guy saying that Harris is either clueless or lying or both on the economy and the state of it. Not a good look for Harris, but it gets worse for Mark Cuban, because he's been in his feelings for a week straight, and he no longer knows apparently the facts when it comes to the media. His Trump derangement syndrome getting so bad that he actually says on CNBC that the mainstream media, yes, the mainstream media, truly leans to the right. Listen and watch.
I don't know what you think of Elon, but
I like Elon.
I like Elon too. But she was at 28% favorability,
right?
And then, as you say, things change. She's all the way up to about 50%. I would just argue that filling in the blanks does not account for that move, and that the media coverage has been so positive and almost marked that it's like, we don't have to worry about trying to elect this guy who is clearly not up for another 4 years. And it's not Donald Trump. So they would have, the left and the people that need a candidate would have embraced anyone at that point. And you know, ABC, it was 100% positive coverage of her, 92% negative of Trump. So Elon says, so what changed the media coverage?
Okay, first, what's the most watched news channel? Who are the most watched and viewed and listened to podcasts? Who are the most watched and listened to?
Is it
viewed?
Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, it's not close, right? The number one shows are all Fox. The number one podcast, Lean Right.
Even in spite of that, she's been able to.
Not in spite of that, meaning, well, in spite of that, yeah. Okay. Meaning the mainstream media is not who you think it is. The mainstream media truly leans right.
Maybe that's why it's only tied then.
Well,
I would argue he's got it really, really bad. Now, the mainstream media outnumbers whatever Mark Cuban is talking about as far as certain podcasters and Fox News, probably 7-1. And yeah, there's very influential, highly consumed right-wing podcasts, but they are outnumbered by the mainstream media, television, radio, newspaper, probably tenfold. But I think he's panicking, much like many on the left, having these meltdowns because he knows that Trump is still ticking. Trump is doing just as well as he ever has, if not better, than 2020 and 2016. And the Harris honeymoon is over. Because the more Kamala talks, the more she sinks herself with the undecideds and the intelligent voters out there, just like she did with Stephanie Ruhle on that MSNBC interview a few days ago. In fact, Mark Cuban now has had 5 meltdowns of incoherent rambling in a 24-hour stretch on not one, but 2 networks. Listen and watch these top 5 Cuban meltdowns over the last handful of days.
Meaning the mainstream media is not who you think it is. The mainstream media truly leans right. Maybe. When you're second in command, you do what your boss tells you to do. He delegates authority to you.
But the border was supposed to be her.
Yeah, but still the same thing. It's his policies. What he said to her was, you go down and you use diplomacy to try to improve, to try to reduce the flow, the migration of people across the border, right? And when they finally came around, and it took too long, I agree, but when they finally got there, now look at the results. It didn't take a wall, but yet, the crossing numbers are where Trump's were when pre-pandemic, at the same number. So it worked. So what she did actually worked.
We can look at exactly what happened. He's already been president. And we can look at what happened when she was vice president. And it's not good, the comparison.
Being the president, Joe, as you know, is different than being vice president. And it's not close,
so we,
right?
So she can take credit for the good things that happened with Biden. But she didn't have anything to do with the bad
Donald
things.
Trump.
In the past, there have been Democrats that have voted not to certify.
Yeah, that's fine.
Many
right.
times.
That's fine. But
previous
none of them called their vice president a pussy and said, don't certify the election. That interest rate caps be set to 10%. That, I mean, the fact that he's even suggesting price controls and price caps, it's socialism 101.
So Donald Trump is now installing and implementing and going down the policy roads of socialism? Cuban's got his head so far up Kamala's keister that he might have actually inherited her minimal intelligence. Watching and listening to Cuban say incoherent, inaccurate things reaffirms what I said for the last 48 hours on this show about the vibe that I'm getting and why I feel super comfortable right now about Trump's current polling position. Because Donald Trump, the truth is, he is entering the most important 5-week stretch of his political life. And I would argue right now the best strategy is this. Keep going to grocery stores, hammer home the border stats and the disparity between his administration and hers, and just let Kamala keep talking. Because every time she opens up her mouth, she reminds all of us why her team wants her to keep it shut. The economy and the border, it's heavy-duty lifting. And it's not fit for a lightweight like Harris. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning brought to you by United Tire. Right now, when you buy any 4 tires at United Tire, you'll receive a free oil change or a basic 4-wheel alignment. United Tire cares as much as you do about your car. Visit UnitedTire.com to find the locally owned United Tire location nearest you. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Coming up next, we'll get some thoughts and reactions to Cuban's meltdown as well as Kamala's visit to the border today. Does anybody actually believe this will pay dividends to Harris's electability? We're back after this here on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's start with Kamala Harris today because she will be in Arizona. I believe it's Douglas, Arizona. And here we are, I don't know, 38, 37 days, 39 days, whatever it is, until the election. And now all of a sudden she wants to make a surprise, well, not even a surprise, but a cameo, a photo op at the southern border. Frank Luntz, Scott Jennings, doesn't matter if you're a pollster or a former Bush administration cabinet member, everybody coming out and saying, no, the time to do this was last year or 2 years ago, or actually whenever you were officially dubbed the border czar by this administration and by the media. You should have been doing this in 21, 22, 23, and the first 8-9 months of 2024. But now, after 15 or 20 million illegal immigrants have entered our country, you want to show up and smile and laugh and giggle and then probably put on a serious face. And I don't know if there's any border wall in Douglas, Arizona, but she'll have that serious look on her face and she'll be chatting with a couple of maybe Border Patrol agents or sheriffs as if she's like a friend of law enforcement and a friend of the Border Patrol. And, you know, there'll probably be some simps out there that buy it. But anybody that's been paying attention to any of this over the last 3.5 to 4 years realizes it's a total photo op and a sham. But that's my concern, is that little sliver out there that is still undecided, weighing all the issues, specifically and most importantly, the top issues, the meat and potatoes, like the economy and the border. Maybe they saw Kamala Harris on television 2 nights ago, and they're like, man, she doesn't know anything about economics. Well, I'll give her a shot today at the border. Don, do you think this strategy pays off? Because anybody with a functional brain, I think, can see through this.
Yeah, I think it opens up a Pandora's box, especially if they shout to her, you know, Vice President Harris, you know, are you still the border czar? Or, you know, because does she get close enough with an earshot of the media for somebody, maybe even in local media, to ask that critical question?
Mm-hmm. And we know that she has always been in these staged, restricted areas, right? A one-on-one interview, recorded, edited, produced, put out, debates, no audience. Everything has been, hey, we got to make sure we give her the softest landing spot possible. But you're going to be with probably those in border enforcement, law enforcement, that probably don't like you. You're going to be in an area where perhaps there are members of that community in Douglas, Arizona, that could be there. I don't know. Maybe they protest her. Maybe they shout at her. Maybe they have signs up. Maybe it's in a spot where perhaps on the other side. Now, I don't know really anything much about Douglas, Arizona, but so I don't know if you can look right across from Douglas, Arizona into Mexico, and there's other people maybe on the other side of some fencing. And to your point, what level of media coverage will be there? Because if I'm Fox, I'll put my Greg Stocker brand manager hat on. Kamala Harris going to the border? Hey, Ducey, Heinrich, you're on the next flight out.
Oh, there's definitely going to be.
Right?
One of them will definitely be there.
Has to be there.
Or Malusian, maybe.
Or Malusian. He's been camped there for 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
Best hair in television, by the way, that a lot of people are saying. I can't relate. So that's going on today. And then, you know, like I said yesterday, and I think Stocker agreed with me that the vibe, the trend, the sugar high, whatever you want to call it, from Kamala has worn off. And it seems like, you know, Trump has kind of pulled back in the momentum in his favor. And you look no further, because I would argue when we talk about lapdog media, There's no newspaper and no television network more friendly and more willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the left than the New York Times and MSNBC. And the New York Times puts out a new column with the biggest takeaways from Harris's, quote, friendly MSNBC interview. And they slammed her for giving no policy specifics in the interview, saying there was nothing but roundabout responses and terrible answers. And I just want to read you just a couple of quotes here and highlights from this, because this, much like when we saw about a year ago the tide, so to speak, started to turn where the New York Post, or excuse me, the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC, CNN, they all started to start that you slowly but surely gang up on Joe Biden because he became, you know, indefensible. So the New York Times had a report that tore into Vice President Kamala Harris's interview with MSNBC host Stephanie Ruhle on Wednesday and said that the Democrat presidential candidate stuck to her strategy of providing and avoiding answers directly and avoiding answering any question directly. Quote, since Ms. Harris began granting more interviews in recent days, her media strategy has been to sit with friendly inquisitors who are not inclined to ask terribly thorny questions or press her when her responses are evasive. That's the first quote from the New York Times report on the takeaways from the Harris interview read. Harris sat for her first solo interview, if you don't know, with a major network on Wednesday, which was just days after Stephanie Ruhle, who did this interview, defended her on Bill Maher's show. She says, quote, Miss Harris responded to the fairly basic and predictable questions with roundabout responses that did not provide a substantive answer. The report noted that Ruhle's praise and defense for Harris during her appearance on Real Time with Bill Maher, which was last Friday. It also referenced an interview that I don't remember this one, but I'm sure we played it, that Ruhle did with Joe Biden in May of 2023 and said, quote, Ruhle did not press him after his stumbling answers and she praised him throughout the 14-minute discussion. And that's one thing that I want to bring up, because what I am so frustrated by, it's predictable. I understand it's coming and it still gets under my skin. The wording and the delivery of the questions in these softball interview settings where they almost know they have to ask the tough question on the economy, the tough question on the border. But before just getting to the actual specifics of the question, which could be all of 8 words, and then you just let the interviewee answer the question, they have to give all this fluff in the beginning of it. Well, I know you care deeply about this, but the reality is this. Americans are not confident in your ability to blah, 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 blah. Just get to the question and stop softball lobbing it. Like, I would imagine, Dawn, as a journalist, you were taught, just get to it. You don't need to de-escalate any awkwardness or uncomfortability. You're a journalist. You're not there to hold their hands. Mm-hmm. Hit them with the fastball, right?
Yeah. Or hit them with, you know, a fair, firm question.
Right.
It's not your job to mitigate things and help them out. That's true.
No, because they don't do that for the Republican. Right?
Right.
I mean, we've seen the animosity that the mainstream... Do you think Dana Bash, I mean, or anybody on CNN or MSNBC, when J.D. Vance has done his 59 interviews, do you think they start off with, like, when they ask J.D. Vance about immigration in Ohio or cats and dogs, well, J.D., we know you're a very good human being and you don't mean anything by it, but could you... No, they come right out there and they try to run him over. But yet with the Democrat, it's, well, we got to hold their hand. It's like walking around with your kids. You hold your kid's hand when they're 6. When they're 27, you don't hold their hand anymore. It's time to grow up. So that was interesting. I thought that the MSNBC New York Times combination being out there is to the point now, which I go back to when Biden and the media fell out of love with each other. It took 2.5 to 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, you fast forward with Kamala as the installed candidate, and I feel like, and maybe I'm misreading this and giving the mainstream media more credit than they deserve, I feel like they've soured on her in a matter of 6 weeks, whereas with Joe, it took almost 2.5 to 3 years. Do you get that same feeling as well, or am I overreacting to this?
No, I think part of it is that these are individuals with big jobs. They have, you know, 50 people as qualified as they are who would love that job, who probably work in the same building, right? You're looking at the weekend anchor, and you're thinking, that one, the boss really likes her or him, and I have an ego, I have a job to keep. And at some point, you know, you think of Stephanie Ruhle, she's getting some good grades for the fact that afterwards, you know, she did have some criticism. And so if you look so over the top in bed with a major candidate or the vice president of the United States, it hurts you. It lowers your stock.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, Stephanie Ruhle, and we talked about this yesterday, from a financial background, she is sharp. And you could see in her she was professional, but you could see in the look on her face, I think she was thinking, wow, this is a lightweight. This mm-hmm. person cannot answer these questions.
Right.
And I think that's what we heard. Again, she tried to couch things. She was extremely professional. But for somebody who has, you know, we know,
yeah.
leans to the left.
Yes.
She was critical and rightfully so.
And you always talk about Republicans getting played. I actually think Kamala Harris got played a little bit because I think Kamala Harris and her team saw the Stephanie Ruhle Bill Maher interview on HBO where yes. Ruhle defended the Veep against criticisms that she was dodging questions. And somebody on Kamala's team, maybe it was Michael, I forget what's his name. He's always on CNN or somebody within the Harris campaign were like, aha. You want to do a one-on-one interview? Let's put her on with Stephanie Ruhle.
Yeah.
She goes on. Stephanie Ruhle's got a financial background, and Kamala looks like an infant talking about the economy yes. with somebody that understands it.
Yeah, and the difference was I think Stephanie Ruhle was on. She was more relaxed. She's in an interview show, and she's showing some opinions. She's showing some personality because she's on, you know, with Bill Maher. But when she puts on her news hat or interview hat, I don't think that she was expecting the fact that Kamala Harris, the vice president, was just giving her these soft answers that were not really non-answers. They weren't even full answers.
No.
And so you can't help but think, okay, this individual does not have a grasp of this policy.
Nope.
That's your conclusion.
Yep. 855-839-1210, the phone number. Dawn's News coming up to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. We've got a lot to get to this morning, including the undecided voters are not who you think they are. Those details as we continue, but first a word from the Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking about Piazza Volkswagen today. That's right, time to talk about the V-Dub 2024 Tiguan. This spacious SUV can seat up to 7 passengers, thanks to its available third row. I've never met anybody that didn't like the third row. Third row is in demand these days, and it's equipped with a suite of helpful tech features designed to make driving and parking easier. Right now, the Tiguan could be yours at 0% financing for 60 months, or lease it for as low as $279 a month for 36 months. Visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore and Langhorne for all the details, and tell them that Nick sent you, or you can shop the Tiguan and other VW models online at PiazzaVW.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
If we do an anniversary show / debate, will you attend? It's up right now on YouTube, youtube.com/app1210WPHT. Please just be truthful.
Yeah.
Let us know if you're... it's... I love the audience.
What are they saying?
It's so close. It's like 65-37 right now.
65-30 in favor of yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, the two different settings will provide a very different vibe to the show. Because if you're in a theater, it always feels more formal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we're at a diner, I think this show, this vibe we give, we're more of a diner type show, right?
A diner type show.
I think so.
But you need a big enough venue.
Well, true. But it depends on how many people truly commit to coming. You know, if only 15 people can make it because they have a life, a job, family, careers, you know, get the kids on the bus, you know, we pack a couple of booths at the diner, a couple of free omelets. But if 300 people want to come, well, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Can
we make it, like, you should also have, like, J.D. Vance come. Don Jr., Eric, or Laura. Somebody come.
The attraction is us and Sean Farish and Esty. Thank you.
Oh.
I just meant others.
Okay. You know, I just meant the more the merrier.
A lot of people saying they would attend. We need a lot more votes right now. So go to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHG. Road Warrior actually suggested my house. We have the
with that pool you have. Yeah. All bit. I'll do the show in a floaty with a mimosa. Just be shouting about the border, drinking Bloody Marys.
All right.
Damn, Kamala.
And then I guess the question is do we have it in a theater,
yeah,
like this lock or yeah, like Keswick, or do we have it in a diner?
Yeah, and if you can't tell us via Twitter or the phones or in the YouTube chat or the poll, leave us a voicemail. Tell us workshop it in the voicemail yourself.
Yeah.
Odyssey app, tap that little microphone, record us your message and send it. We'll play it.
Yeah.
Now, the Regal Warrington is playing Vindicating Trump, which is that, I guess it's a docuseries. I guess it's really good.
Yeah, it's Dinesh D'Souza put that out, right? Yeah. D'Souza.
What? Remember the Regal Warrington? Greg, we've done broadcasts from there, right? Isn't that?
I didn't even know the Regal Cinemas were still a thing.
No.
Is that the wrong one?
Yeah, we did it at Penn Cinemas.
Penn Cinemas, sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that. But I love the Keswick because that's a great venue.
That's a big venue, man. I would get Audra what if we only get 50 people there?
Right.
That's an 800-seat venue.
Right. It would be like a Tim Harris, Kamala Walls rally.
Kamala Walls.
We'll start busing you in. 855-839-1210.
Yeah. I was trying to think if it could be, you could combo something like a book signing or do a back the badge little fundraiser, do a combo thing to make it a benefit and that way give out free coffee and treats and make it a benefit.
Yeah. I just want some eggs and some hash browns and I'm good. I don't need anything else and be fine by me. Or if we do, a theater, I have no problem, having a cocktail at 7:30 in the morning. It's fine by me as well.
Mastores Diner in Bordentown.
What are you, like, Googling diners?
No. I'm just reading what people are saying. Warrington Regal, still open, Gary says.
Well, Kamala Harris on line one actually says there's a few different ways you can search for possible venues.
Just look up the Google.
We'll Google it.
I'd have it at my house, but the Spring Dance hot tub only seats, six comfortably.
Right.
Could be a problem.
It could be a problem, yeah. Could fit most other radio shows comfortably, but this one, we're gonna need a bigger boat, Hooper.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Hit the vote if we should do an anniversary show / debate, a mock debate with Sean and Esty. And
cool.
It's gonna be a live broadcast. So that's the other thing. Will diners want us there? Yelling about things.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
But we're not the most family friendly show in the world.
I've heard sports radio shows with more hostility than this program.
Okay. All right.
Good God.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.